I'd like to say good evening and welcome to the Nationwide Gospel Call. This is Brother Anthony Flunder with the Church of Christ in Manhattan Heights in Lubbock, Texas. Tonight, our speaker is Brother Eddie Sanders from Murfreesboro, Tennessee. His subject is Under New Management from Matthew chapter 17, verses 1 through 5. So it is my pleasure to introduce to you and to have Brother Eddie Sanders come in his own way. Brother Sanders.
Thank you, Brother Flunder. We appreciate that. We appreciate the Highland Heights congregation for giving me the opportunity to preach the Word of God on tonight. We're going to ask you tonight, those that are listening, we pray that you have your Bible, pencil, and paper. And I want you to turn to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 17, and meet me at verse number 1. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 17, and meet me at verse number 1. All of us from time to time have noticed the words under new management over the door or in front of the window of some place of business. Those words, they convey a series of thoughts and impressions to our minds. When we see those words, we know immediately that this business has experienced a change. The most obvious change is that of leadership. But with new management comes new motivation and new methods in the way business is conducted. One likes to think that a change of management will bring with it an improvement in the overall function of the business. When a business is under new management, it usually promises something better than the old regime. And the business tonight that I'm talking about, I'm not talking about a restaurant, or I'm not talking about a food business or a storage business or any other type of secular business, but the business that I'm speaking of tonight is that it's not an ordinary business. It's the business of the Lord's church. One time, Jesus was in Jerusalem, and his parents found him sitting in the midst of doctors, hearing them and asking them questions. But the Bible said in Luke chapter 2 and verse 49, "Why did ye seek me?" In other words, why did you come looking for me? "Do you not know that I must be about my Father's business?" So that's what we want to use for a subject tonight, under new management. Under new management. In regards to God's business, there are three things that I want to look at tonight that are under new management. First of all, when we think in terms of being under new management, there is a new head. Anytime that there is new management, there's usually a new head. And what we mean by new head is there is new leadership. Go with me to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 17, and let's look at verse number 1. For the Bible said, "After 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brethren, bringeth them up unto a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Peter said, Lord, it's good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias." Now, I want us to focus on verse number 5, if you please. The Bible said in verse number 5, "While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, hear ye him." Now, let's look at verse number 5 for a minute. After Peter said what he said in verse number 4, his talk was interrupted. And we see here in verse number 5, the Bible said, "While he was speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and there was a voice that came out of the cloud." And there are some that try to debate on who that voice was. Well, I know who the voice was. And if we study God's word, we all should know who that voice was. That was the voice of God. That was God the Father. There was a voice out of that cloud that said something. And the voice said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." In other words, this is my Son. I'm pleased with what he's doing. This is my Son. This is who you need to hear. Well, who is the Lord talking about? We know that he's talking about Jesus, the Christ. You know, the one that rose from a tomb and said, "All power in heaven and earth has been given unto me." That's the Jesus that I'm talking about. I'm talking about the Jesus of the Bible, where the Bible said in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28 and verse 18, "All power all authority has been given unto me. So that's the Jesus that I'm talking about. I'm talking about the Jesus that was mentioned in John chapter 3, verses 16 and verse number 17. For God so loved the world that he gave. Who did he give? His only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish, but shall have everlasting life. In verse 17, the Bible said, for God sent not his Son in the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So the Lord sent Jesus here on this earth for a purpose. He didn't send Jesus here to condemn folk. He sent Jesus to save folk. Jesus was the one that God sent. That's why he said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. We read again. Turn with me, if you will, to 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 17. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 17, where Peter said, for he received from God. He's talking about Jesus Christ. For he received from God the Father honor and glory. When there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, notice what the Bible says. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. So we're talking about Jesus the Christ. The new head is Jesus Christ. And did you not know that the new head was talked about under the old regime or under the old management system? The prophet Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign, and behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. And that word Emmanuel means God with us. In Isaiah chapter 9 and verse number 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. So now we know who the head is. The head is Jesus Christ. But let me give you some more supporting scripture to help you understand that under new management, that Jesus is the head of the church. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 22 and verse number 23, and have put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Let me give you another scripture, Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 18. Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 18. For he is the head of the body, the church, which is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. So Christ has the preeminence. So what that tells me is this, that Christ has executive authority. He has legislative authority, and he has judicial authority. So under new management, we know that there is a new head, and the head is Jesus Christ. Number two, under new management, there's also a new communication system. Brother Sanders, what do you mean when you say under new management there's a new communication system? Well, under the old regime, God spoke directly to the patriarchs, or God spoke to households. God spoke to Adam. God spoke to Noah. God spoke to Abraham. God spoke to Moses. But today, how does God talk to us? Well, I hear some people say, well, God slipped in my room last night and he told me a story and God said that everything was going to be all right. Well, here's the issue I have with that. If God told you everything was going to be all right, or he slipped in your room and told you everything was going to be all right, he slipped in my room and said the same thing, because God is no respecter of persons. Today, under the new management, God speaks to us. He does speak to us. But do you know how God speaks to us? God speaks to us through his holy and divine word. An open mind and an open Bible go hand in hand. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. And I want to show you how God speaks to us today. Yes, absolutely, God talks to us. I tell folks all the time, yes, God talks to us, but he talks to us through his word. Hebrews 1, verses 1 and verse number 2. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1, and I hope that you're writing these scriptures down so you can go back and look at these scriptures after we get off the call. because it's very important for you to not only write these scriptures down, but go back and read God's word for yourself. Don't take my word for it. Don't walk away from this call and say, well, Brother Sanders said, don't put that on me, because Brother Sanders can be wrong. But I want you to understand that everything that I'm going to share with you this evening is going to be from God's holy and divine word. Hebrews 1, verses 1 and 2. The Bible said, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. So under the old dispensation, in the patriarchal age, God spoke directly to households. But in verse 2 is where we want to go. Hath in these last days, are we living in the last days? Absolutely. In these last days, spoken unto us, watch this, by his Son. You know, it's interesting to me that everything goes back to the Son, the S-O-N, and his name is Jesus Christ. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. So we have to understand, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, that God does talk to us. John chapter 1 and verse number 18. John chapter 1, there's a couple of more scriptures I want to share with you. John chapter 1 and verse number 18. The Bible said, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared. Let me give you another scripture. John chapter 5 and verse 37. John chapter 5 and verse 37. What are you doing, Brother Sanders? I'm establishing the fact that God not only talks to us through his word, but no man can walk away. No man can walk away and say, well, God told me this, or God came into my room and slipped in my dream and told me a story. Again, God is no respecter of persons, because if God did that to you, God would do that to everyone. But here's what God does. He talks to us through his word. And I've shown through the word how he does talk to us today. John chapter 5 and verse number 37. The Bible said, and the Father himself, which has sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither, watch this. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. If God talked to you, what did he sound like? That's the question that I ask individuals. If God talked to you, what did he sound like? If you've seen him, what did he look like? The Bible said again, and the Father himself, which has sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. Brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, I want to encourage us to open our Bibles and allow God to talk to us through his word. Now, when God talks to us, I think we should listen. Because one time Jesus made the statement, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? Because we live in a society, we hear a lot of people saying, Lord, Lord, but they're not doing the things that the Lord says. So, yes, God talks to us, but the question is, are we listening? And not only listening, but are we following God's word and what he has to say? It's one thing to listen, but it's another thing to put things into action. So now we've established the fact that, number one, we know who the head is under new management. It's Jesus Christ. Number two, we know that there's a new way of communicating. At one time, we know that God spoke directly to households. God now speaks to us through his holy and divine word. No man at any time hath neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his shape. So allow God to talk to you by opening your Bible. A closed Bible and a closed mind is not good. An open Bible and an open mind go hand in hand. You have to find the facts, face the facts, and follow the facts. And the facts are in God's holy and divine word. The truth is found in his word. I hear a lot of people say, well, Brother Sanders, you have your truth and I have my truth. Well, I tell people that there's just one truth. It's the truth. And the truth is found in God's word. My truth doesn't mean anything. Your truth doesn't mean anything. But God's truth will help save your soul and get you to heaven. Thirdly and finally, being under new management, we're under a new and better covenant. And I thank God. I do. I thank God every single day, the older that I get, that we no longer live under the old dispensation. I thank God that we don't have to worry about animal sacrifices. I thank God that we don't have to worry about the rituals that took place under the old dispensation. We don't have to worry about circumcision as a requirement for salvation. I thank God. We no longer live under the patriarchal age or the Mosaical age. Thank God we live in the Christian age. We are under a new and better covenant. Why? Because Christ came to the scene. I want you to see that everything comes back to Christ. Christ came to the scene, and he died for mankind. He died for every single one of us. Turn to John chapter 1 and verse 17. We looked at verse 18 of John 1, but I want to look at verse number 17, and I want to show that we live under a new and better covenant. Again, I'm thankful every single day that we do. John chapter 1 and verse 17, for the law was given by Moses. So John is talking about or making reference to the law of Moses. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So now we live under grace and truth. So, yes, we live under a new and a much better covenant. Galatians 3, one of my favorite scriptures that I love to use to help support the point that I'm trying to make in terms of living under a new and better covenant. Because at one time, in Galatians chapter 3, in verse number 23, but before faith came, we were kept under the law. The Bible said, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ. I want to park here for a minute. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster. And I like to use a lot of analogies when I teach. So here we have where the Bible says the law was our schoolmaster. Or we can say the law was our school bus. And the Bible said the law was our schoolmaster. What did it do? It did what it was supposed to do. The Bible said it was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ that we might be justified by faith. Let me give an example. I remember when I was in high school, I rode the bus to school. And thank God the bus came right in front of our housing project. I grew up in public housing, and the bus stopped right in front of our apartment. And I didn't have to go out and stand out in the cold, stand out in the rain. I could always wait in the living room because I would always hear the bus coming down the road. And when the bus came and it picked up a bunch of kids right there on the corner, I walked out of the house and I got on the bus. And my objective was to ride the bus to Henry County High School. That was my destination. Now, were there other stops between Caledonia Street? I lived at 1003 Caledonia Street in Paris, Tennessee. There were other stops from there to the high school. I had no reason to get off the bus because my destination of where I was going and where everyone on the bus was going was to Henry County High School. So all of us kids in the projects, we got on the bus. The bus went on down the Urban Street, picked up some more kids. Then it went down Wood Street, picked up more kids. Then it went down another street and picked up more kids. Then it went down another street because the high school was on the other side of town. So we made several stops before we got to our destination, but we never got off the bus. But every morning when we pulled in front of Henry County High School, it was time for us to get off the bus. We were at school. It would do me no good to stay on the bus because I've reached my destination. The bus driver did his job. He took us from where we got on the bus to our destination. Our destination was Henry County High School. Once we got to the school, guess what we did? We all got off the bus. Here's my point. Going back to the text, or going back to Galatians 3, verse 23, but before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore, watch this, the law was our school bus or our schoolmaster. So one time there was a law. It was our schoolmaster. But you know what? The school bus, well, the schoolmaster wasn't there to last forever. The law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ that we might be justified by faith. The next verse, verse 25, but after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. Now that Christ has come, we're no longer under the old law. We no longer live under the old dispensation. For you're all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. So now that faith has come, we no longer live under the old law. It's time to get off the bus. You have people today, they still want to live under the old law. They still want to live under the old dispensation. We're not required to do that. Why? Because Christ has come. Christ came, but not only he came, not only was he born, not only was Christ born, Christ lived. Not only did Christ live, Christ died. Not only did Christ die, he got up from the grave and he's sitting on the right hand of God, Mark 16 and verse 19. So since Christ has come, we no longer live under the old dispensation. It's time to get off the bus. It's time to get off the bus. We no longer live under that schoolmaster anymore. So as we wrap this thing up tonight, I want us to understand something. Under new management, there's a new head, and his name is Jesus Christ. Under new management, there's a new communication system. God talks to us through his holy and divine word. He didn't slip in your room. He didn't tell you a story. He didn't slip in your dream. That's not the way God talks to us. He talks to us through his word. My question is, are you listening to what God has to say? In order for you to listen, you have to open your Bible. And I pray that your Bible is open tonight. Thirdly and finally, by being under new management, we live under a better covenant. And that better covenant is grace and truth. The law was given by, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And if you'll notice, everything comes back to the Savior. Our Savior, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, our Savior, he stood for us. They put him on that scourging post, him being Jesus Christ. They put him on that scourging post, and they tried to kill him on that scourging post. They wanted Jesus to die, but you know what? Jesus wouldn't die. He wouldn't die. 39 times, they took the whip with the hooks pulling out clogs of flesh from his body. They blindfolded my Lord and your Lord, and they slapped him upside the head, and Jesus just stood there. They tied his hands, and they spit in his face. Jesus died a horrible, horrible, horrible death. They laid him on a cross after taking him from judgment hall to judgment hall in front of a kangaroo court. But you know what? Jesus still went to the cross. He had to go to the cross. You know why? Because there was no plan B. He had to go to the cross. He had to go to the cross. If Jesus doesn't get on that cross, we don't have any salvation. If Jesus doesn't get up on that cross, we have no salvation. Jesus laid on that cross, and they nailed him with the nails in his hands and his feet, and they hung him between the twilight of two worlds, between two thieves. And Jesus did this for you and for me. And he looked down at those folk. And you know what he said? He said, Father, forgive them. He said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Just forgive them. My Lord and you, he took that beating for us. He died in our place that we can have a chance for salvation. And tonight, what I've done is I've shared with you the word of God. You've heard the word and the story of Jesus. I've given it to you tonight. Now, the question is, do you believe it? That's the question. Do you believe it? Don't believe it because Brother Sanders said it. Believe it because it's the word of God. You've heard his word. Do you believe his word with all of your heart? Now it's time, if you understand his word and you believe his word, it's time for you to repent of your sins. It's time for you to change your thoughts, change your ways, change your actions, change your lifestyle, change the way you look, the way you talk. It's time to change, and that's what repentance is all about. I tell folks all the time, either you're walking toward the devil or you're walking from the devil. It's one of two. You're walking toward him or you're walking from him. And if you want to go to heaven, you better walk from the devil. And just because you walk away from the devil doesn't mean the devil is not going to come after you. But I would change my ways and repent and walk toward Jesus, all because of what Jesus did for you and for me. Acts 17 and 30. And then confess. Confess the greatest name on mortal tongue. And I've talked about who we need to confess tonight. You don't need to confess Charles T. Russell. He's dead. You don't need to confess the Pope. He's dead. You don't need to confess Mother Teresa. She's dead. These individuals did not die for us. And I have nothing personal against these individuals, but I will say that none of these individuals died for me. Jesus did. And that's who I acknowledge. Jesus is the greatest name that I know because he died for my sins and yours. Matthew 10 and verse number 32, Romans 10 and verse number 10. And upon that confession, you'll be baptized. Galatians 3:27, Father, remission of your sins. You'll go down into the water. And I'm thankful that God performs surgery on every single one of us when we go down into that water. Colossians chapter 2, he performs surgery on us. He cuts away all of those things that hinder us, and we come up a new creature in Christ. And all we need to do is live faithful to death, live faithful unto death, live faithful unto death. Follow in the Lord's direction. Stay focused on him, him being Jesus Christ. Colossians 3, verse 1 and 2, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Verse 2 says to set your affection on things above and not on things of this earth. Don't get caught up with what's going on down here on this earth. It's easy to become discouraged with all of the negativity and all the things that we see on television. It's easy to become discouraged. But you know what? We have to stay focused on the prize. And the prize is one day we'll make heaven our home if we live faithful unto death and if we'll do what the Lord has told us to do. We're under new management, and I'm thankful that we live under the law of Christ and not the law of Moses. Tonight I pray that we've said something that has been thought-provoking, that has been encouraging, although it's been very simplistic. But you know what? That's who Jesus was. He was very simplistic. And I pray that you'll take this lesson tonight, and if you have any questions, that you'll send an email, and we'll do everything that we can to address your question. But just know that we don't give our opinions, our pontifications. We'll give you a Bible answer for your Bible question. May God bless you. Thank you very much.